That does it for another episode of the Project Censored Show. I'm Mickey Huff with Peter Phillips. Special thanks to our guest today. Bill Carroll joined us to talk about the transnational capitalist class, and we were joined by Sansara Taylor and Rafael Cadares to talk about refusefascism.org. I'm Mickey Huff with Peter Phillips. The Project Censored Show airs on nearly 40 stations around the United States, from Maui to New York. Special thanks to Anthony Fest, our producer, Erica Bridgman, our engineer. Please follow us and like us on Facebook and learn more about our work at projectcensored.org. We'll see you next time.
Political ties, habitual lies, alibis, disguise, another guy's democracy, politics, and the apocalypse. Got the skies looking ominous. So the ocean burned bright with waves full of poison. Genocide, wars, fall for little boys, and the weapons manufactured paid for by taxing while the prisons and the levees and the mines collapsing. All the prisons, build the capacity, citizens. In the times when the master thief can buy and conquer, steal a masterpiece. Open your eyes and realize what's happening. Times running out to reach all potential fame. At the table, then you're probably on the menu. We got that love.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Next Level, a benefit dance party on Saturday, January 21st, after the Women's March, starting at 8 p.m. at the Jade Club in Portland. This 21 and over event features Jen O of Strange Babes, KBOO's DJ Anjali, and Casual Aztec, as well as performances and more. Again, that's Next Level, a benefit dance party on Saturday, January 21st at 8 p.m. at the Jade Club, 315 Southeast 3rd Avenue in Portland. More information on the event can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO is gearing up to celebrate 50 years of community radio, and we need your help. Take the Big Events Survey on kboo.fm and help us decide what kind of events you would attend or help build. Go to kboo.fm and click on the survey banner to help prepare for the Kaleidoscope of KBOO, Past, Present, and Future, 50th Anniversary Celebration.
You're listening to 90.7 KBOO Portland. A winter storm warning remains in effect until 1 p.m. Chains or snow tires are required for all Portland area highways. Temperatures will remain in the low 30s. Coming up this morning on KBOO at 11, the Dirt Bag will answer your questions, including, is this cold good for anything in the garden? But next, on Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein, what will it mean for America if lifetime racist and anti-civil rights activist Senator Jefferson Beauregard Sessions is allowed to lead the Justice Department? Plus, Gareth Porter's latest article, pushing for a new lucrative Cold War.
On Flashpoints, lifetime racist and anti-civil rights activist Senator Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III heading for the Justice Department. What does that really mean for justice in America? Also, millions of undocumented workers gearing up for life in the age of Trump. We'll speak to a dreamer who's also the director of the Grayton Day Labor Center in Santa Rosa, California. And we'll be joined by investigative journalist Gareth Porter to talk about his latest article, Pushing for a New Lucrative Cold War. I'm Dennis Bernstein, all this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. This is your daily investigative news magazine. Well, we start off with another look at Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III, quite a historical name at that. He was before Congress today. He was being confirmed, or it is apparent that he will be confirmed by the Republican Congress. God, you got the feeling that he was a champion of civil rights and human rights. He fought for black people. He fought for civil rights. This guy was out there. Not really. Jefferson Beauregard Sessions is sort of the uptown Klan. He has a history of taking actions that undermine the rights of black people for many years as a U.S. attorney, as Attorney General of Alabama, where he was supposed to be investigating some 20 or 30 or 40 black church burnings. He turned that into an investigation of accusing the people that their churches burned of burning them down themselves and also leading a voter fraud investigation. That's who Jefferson Beauregard Sessions is. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Joining us to help us round out the picture is Chip Gibbons. He is the Policy and Legislative Counsel for the Bill of Rights Defense Committee in Washington, D.C. He's also a published writer. His work has appeared in Truth Out and Counterpunch. And, well, welcome, Chip Gibbons, to Flashpoints.
Thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure to be on Flashpoint.
Well, it's good to have you with us. Give us your, let's talk a little bit in general terms. We heard on the hearings today, this guy fought for black rights, for voting rights.
Well, Jeff Sessions made a number of interesting claims about himself on the hearing today that if you had followed his career at all, you would be a little bit surprised by. You'd be like, who is this man and what have known Jeff Sessions? You know, we were one of the over 400 civil rights and civil liberties groups who've sent letters to the Judiciary Committee urging them to oppose Jeff Sessions. And one of the things we mentioned then is that, you know, Jeff Sessions has a decade-long track record. Like, what he's up to, what he's about, these things aren't mysteries. He was a U.S. assistant attorney in Alabama. He was an Alabama attorney general, and he was a senator. And in each of those positions, he denied civil rights and civil liberties to people. I mean, you know, it's really amazing because in the 80s, he was nominated to be a federal judge by the same committee that is now hearing him. Hearing about his attorney general confirmation, rejected him. Obviously, different members, but they found that he was too racist in, you know, in the 1980s to be a federal judge. And that in of itself should disqualify him, barring any evidence that he is contrite or has evolved or changed, which none exist. And a number of points were brought up during that hearing that he had made a number of really unsettling racist remarks. He told somebody that he used to think the Ku Klux Klan was okay until he found out they smoked pot. You know, they asked him about that, and his response was, oh, I said that, but I was joking. It was as if I had said, well, I liked Pol Pot until I found out he had alligator shoes. No one could take it seriously, but in the context of investigating a very brutal lynching, the other black attorney on the case actually did take it seriously. I mean, even if it was a joke, it shows an extraordinarily disregard for black humanity to think that while investigating a Ku Klux Klan lynching, that is an appropriate time to make that joke. And there was a whole bunch of other things that he had come up and said, that the NAACP was an un-American and communist-inspired organization for thrusting civil rights down the throats of the people. He said today during the hearing he didn't say that. In the 1980s, his response was, well, I'm very loose with my tongue, but I don't mean any harm by it.
That was his answer to that question when he was confronted back then. So
yes,
he admitted it back then, and he lied today before Congress.
He didn't quite admit it. He just said, I can be loose with my tongue.
Okay.
It wasn't clear what...
He didn't deny it back then.
No, he didn't deny. He didn't confirm. He just came back with, I'm loose with my tongue.
Didn't he also say that any white lawyer that defends a black person should be disbarred? Did you hear that one?
That may have been one of the claims that he said.
Okay.
I know there was a story about him telling a white lawyer he was a disgrace to his race that Sessions did deny during the 86 confirmation hearing. So there were claims that Sessions denied about the racist remarks the last time around. There were other times where he just said, oh, I said that, but I was joking. And then there was other times where he just go, oh, I'm such a hilarious guy, I'm loose with my tongue. you know, I don't know what I said or didn't say, but it wasn't harmful, I'm sure. And, you know, so the racist comments were disturbing, but, you know, equally as disturbing as the comments were the actions that he took.
Yes.
And one of the things that derailed his judiciary nomination was his prosecution of three voting rights activists. You know, before the Voting Rights Act in this country was passed, which Sessions was, had always wanted gut, and he, Sessions said the Shelby County decision stripping key provisions by the Supreme Court was a good thing, you know, many African Americans were not able to vote because of racist barriers to voting in the South. And thanks to the work of civil rights activists, both in campaigning for the Voting Rights Act and both in helping people to register to vote, you know, that started to change. And in parts of the South where you had majority African American populations or significant African American populations, like in the Black Belt, they started to elect Black leaders and leaders who, surprisingly enough, represented their interest. So Sessions was involved in this prosecution of three civil rights activists, one of which had marched with Martin Luther King at Selma, Alabama. And what they had done is they had collected absentee ballots from elderly voters, and then they would drop them off at the post office, a perfectly reasonable thing to do. I believe I saw in an article today that the one had actually gotten training on how to do that from the Attorney General's office after he complained about problems with the absentee ballot law system. So these two activists go to the post office to drop the ballots off, and this was in the Nation, and it's a preposterous story. There's a group of FBI agents hiding behind a bush, waiting for them to come to the post office to drop the absentee ballots off. And then as soon as they do, they seize the ballots. They put a bunch of elderly people on buses. They drag them across town. They interrogate them. They put them in front of grand juries. And these are clearly intimidating acts. One of the individuals who was called before a grand jury said, you know, he was afraid to even admit that he had voted at all.
You know, and one of those old people who he stuck on the bus, by the way, had a heart attack and died.
I did not know that.
We can't blame him directly, but that's what happened, because they were stuck on those buses in Alabama summer weather. Things were not pleasant. These were tough. This was tough punishment to be driven around on those buses, afraid that what's the grand jury going to say about me? Am I going to go to jail? These were churchgoers. Anyway, I'm sorry for interrupting, but this guy's got a reputation as Uptown Klan.
And then Sessions comes in and he brings 27 some charges against them. It goes to trial. The judge dismisses half of the charges before they can even go to a jury, because the judge just says there's no evidence to support these charges. And then the remaining charges, the charges that were not thrown out by the judge, go to the jury, and the jury takes less than 3 hours to deliberate, and they acquit all three activists because there was no basis for their prosecution. It was very clearly politically motivated, and it was very clearly, about suppressing the rights of African Americans. And, you know, Sessions has a history of both suppressing political speech he doesn't like and suppressing political speech from groups he doesn't like. When he was the Alabama Attorney General, he wrote a very horrendous opinion denying student LGBT groups funding from the state, saying it violated state laws to do so. And he had a really disturbing language in his opinion. He said, an organization that professes to be comprised of homosexuals and or lesbians may not receive state funding or use state-supported facilities to foster, promote those illegal sexually deviant activities defined in the sodomy and sexual misconduct laws. And later Alabama passed a law saying the same thing as his opinion, and he enforced that law as well. And he was found by a federal court to have violated these groups' First Amendment rights. So today, during his opening statement, Jeff Sessions said he's always defended he will defend the civil rights of lesbians and gays. You know, he's always done this, something like that. You know, he's not only opposed civil rights for LGBT people's entire career, he doesn't even think they deserve to have First Amendment rights. Like, that is how deep his antipathy towards that community goes, and how deep his antipathy towards both social equality and the civil liberties guaranteed by our Bill of Rights. Like, it's amazing to me.
This is an amazing appointment, and the more you scratch the surface with Jefferson Beauregard Sessions, the more you find out. Now, what do we know? Everybody was quite concerned. I was sort of a bit bemused. Everybody was quite concerned about the fact that the Donald didn't know who David Duke was. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But David Duke ain't nothing in terms of activism compared to the effect that Jefferson Beauregard Sessions had on the black citizens of Alabama. What about, you wouldn't consider him a white nationalist, would you?
I mean, I would be very, very, very careful as to how I classify Sessions. I mean, I don't think we should stray away from calling a racist, or a white nationalist a white nationalist. But I think that we have to be somewhat careful. What I can say is that when you look at his record, he has been systematically opposed to the rights of African Americans. He has been systematically opposed to constitutional rights in general, and he's been very happy to single out groups like African Americans in the voting rights case, or LGBT students in that one case, specifically to have their constitutional liberties deprived. So I would hesitate before calling him a white nationalist, because I don't know that much about
Okay, I'm looking at the
years.
Reason I'm asking you that is I'm looking at that open letter that you identified by some 200 organizations that was sent out around the country. I guess it was called the Leadership Conference, an open letter to United States Senate civil rights and human rights organizations opposed confirmation of Jeff Sessions. That was the letter you were referencing, right?
I was actually referencing the letter we sent as an individual organization.
Okay, because they...
We signed on to a bunch of letters, and we've...
Okay, I'm looking at it on in the section of that letter, an open letter to the United States Senate, and it says here... association with white nationalists and hate groups regarding immigration policy. Senator Sessions has been a fierce opponent of comprehensive immigration reform, referring to a bipartisan